You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and me, Helen Scales. And we've heard a lot about the portable sensors that Rod Jones and his team are using to monitor pollutant levels whilst walking around a city. So let's now join Meera Senthilingam to see how these sensors actually work in action.
Yes, so I'm now here at the chemistry department at the University of Cambridge with Rod Jones, and we've got one of these handheld devices in front of us. And there's a lot packed into here. So what have we got here? At the top, we've got the three sensors. What are these sensors detecting?
Well, the three that you can see here are detecting nitrogen dioxide, nitric oxide and carbon monoxide. Inside each sensor, there's a small amount of fluid, which is called the electrolyte. And when the gases enter the sensors, they actually force a very small current to flow in that electrolyte, and you measure the current. So you can relate the current from this, which is very small, to the amount of gas that you're trying to detect. And of course, this box does rather more than that then, because what it has to do is to take that current and digitize it so that we can then transfer it to a computer. These boxes actually also determine where we are using GPS that everybody knows. And in fact, there's a Bluetooth connection here, which then links it to a mobile phone, which is sitting just next to it now. And it's that mobile phone which transmits the data from the sensor in real time to a central computer so that we can look at it.
Now, you've managed to pack all of this into not only a light box, but its size is actually quite small. It's only about 15 centimetres by about 5 centimetres. And you're going to take me on a particular route around Cambridge so we can see these devices in action. Where are we going to go?
Well, we're going to go from the chemistry department, which then enters immediately a busy road. We're going to walk towards a major traffic junction and then into an area which is green park area, really. And these are typical of the kinds of places that we've been making these kinds of measurements.
We're outside the chemistry department now with the handheld monitor. Rod, how are you going to turn it on? What should we do before we start our walk?
Well, I've just turned the phone on and it now shows me a screen which I can then use to detect the sensor box. And the sensor box I'm just switching on now by pushing one single button. And in a minute, there we are. It's telling us that the device is working and has actually detected the GPS satellites. So we're now ready to go.
Okay, so let's go. We're heading down towards a particularly busy junction. Now, I can imagine that the sensor will be particularly active right now.
Well, yes. The chemistry of the atmosphere is really quite complex. A lot of these vehicles are going to be releasing a fair amount of nitric oxide, and so we might expect to see really quite high values of nitric oxide. And, of course, individual cars have very different emission amounts. And the age of a vehicle really matters as well. And if a vehicle is old and not particularly well maintained, it's quite likely that the emissions from that are going to be much higher.
It is very busy here. There are numerous cars, motorbikes, lorries, trucks just going by. But now we're going to head over into the quieter Parker's Peace.
It's very interesting because if we're trying to understand how the chemistry of the troposphere works, we actually have to look at a lot of different sources. And immediately you can see that we have trees and greenery here, all of which can emit a range of different molecules which can affect the chemistry of the troposphere. So we need to get the complete picture, and this little box is part of that process.
We're now in the middle of Parker's Peace, which is a very large green area here in Cambridge. Now, it's much quieter, the cars are much further away, but, you know, they're still not that far, so surely the pollutants are still going to be reasonably high here.
That's right, and in fact we can feel a slight breeze. That's obviously going to bring the pollution from the road, which we can see just over there, into Parker's Peace. We're not likely to see quite as big fluctuations in the emissions from vehicles because they've now tended to mix out a little bit.
As pleasant and sunny as it is here, we now are going to go back to the lab in order to look at the information of this particular route. We're now back in Rod Jones's lab in the chemistry department, but joining me now is Mark Kalea, who's a software developer on the project. So, Mark, you've got your laptop with you here, and it's got Google Earth on it. So on your Google Earth now, we've got a satellite view of the area that I just walked with Rod. What are you going to show me on this particular view of Cambridge?
Right, here we're going to have a time-dependent plot of someone walking around with a sensor, and we're going to just show the nitrogen dioxide track, just to show the difference between walking, say, in a quiet street or next to a traffic-laden street. We've colour-coded the data points, so it goes from dark blue, low pollution, to pale blue, to white for medium levels of pollution, going up to pink, and dark red means high levels of pollution.
So this particular video we're going to watch is just showing one person wandering around Cambridge. The person is shown on the map as a circle, and this circle is moving around as the person is moving around Cambridge. Now, to start with, this circle is dark blue, which means that the pollutant levels are actually quite low.
It so happened at that time, yes, it was. It's mainly dark blue for the route this person's chosen, except when he gets to quite a busy street, which is just off Parker's Place, and then it starts going to pinks and reds. And it's not unusual. Wherever you get high levels of traffic, that's when you expect your pollution levels to go high. As you can see, as you go down to the by streets, the pollution levels drop.
But as you say, this is for a very specific moment of time. So how can you collate this information into something a bit more usable?
What we'll do is we can plot all data points from a time window on one graph and impose that graph on the relevant map from Google Earth. And that will allow us to have a fuller picture of what happens over, say, a day or a week.
And Rod, actually, you've got one of these graphs for the particular route that we've walked today. It's basically a series of lines around the city, and it looks like a wall or something has been built around it, and variations in the height of this wall are basically the variations in certain pollutants.
Well, that's right. As Mark was saying, what we've done here is just to plot on top of a Google map a vertical line which represents the amount of pollution at a particular point. And so as an individual walks around the streets, you can see a line which follows them walking, and the height of the line above the surface represents the amount of pollutant, in this case carbon monoxide. And here in Gonville Place, that was the place that we stood with all the traffic flowing around. In fact, we see the highest amount of carbon monoxide, around 2 parts per million, which is way, way above the natural background. But you can now see where these sensors really come into their own. So if we now look at a map of nitric oxide, what we see, in fact, is really very high concentrations of NO close to where the bus station is. But now when you follow our walk into the centre of Parker's Peace, surprisingly, the nitric oxide values drop really quite low. What it means is that we're further away from the vehicles, which are the primary nitric oxide sources. But now if we look at NO2, which is one of a gas of considerable concern in terms of health, we suddenly see that the NO2 values in the middle of Parker's Peace are in fact every bit as high as in the surrounding areas. And in a sense we expect that, because what we're seeing is the reaction of nitric oxide with ozone to give us NO2, and so the NO2 values kind of hold up as you move away from the direct pollution sources. But everything actually depends critically on the subtleties, the wind speeds, the meteorology, the specific vehicle that passes you by.
What are you going to do with this information in the future? Could it be the case where someone could just log on and plan their route according to the levels of pollutants they see?
Well, that's one of the ambitions, I think, of this project, so that anybody, anywhere, can actually determine by looking at the web what their likely pollution exposure is going to be.
So if this technology develops further, you could have a clear picture of where pollutants are highest and therefore where to avoid, not only in your own city, but many cities around the world. That was Professor Rod Jones and Dr. Mark Kalea showing Meera Senthilingam just how these portable sensors work and how we can use the data with Google Earth to get a detailed map of local pollution.
Laying the facts bare.
I say.
The Naked Scientists.